Evening.
Okay. I know you're all going to be shocked that my inspiration came from a song. But back in, 79, 80, 81, so around in that time frame, Bob Dylan went through a Christian phase. He actually got converted, but then he left. But anyway, he put out two or three albums that actually had some pretty good songs, and one of them was this song, Going to Have to Serve Somebody, and I heard it a couple of weeks ago on the internet, and knowing I had to, or I'd signed up to do this, I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea, actually, for a lesson. And the beginning of the song says, you may be an ambassador to England or France, you may like to gamble, you may like to dance, you may be the heavyweight champion of the world, you may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And it's very true. I mean, he hit it right on the nail, right on the head. He goes on and on through many verses listing out who you might be, but continuing in between each verse is the chorus of talking about you're going to have to serve somebody. And so anyway, that's what we're going to look at tonight, is looking at what the Bible has to say about serving. And this is kind of a cross between a devotional and a sermon. I really am going to rely on what God has to say a lot more than what I have to say. I used a Bible search tool and just grabbed lots of verses on that talk about serve. And we're going to go through those, and I'll have a little bit to say about them, but most of them are pretty self-evident. And then at the end, we'll kind of talk a little bit about what it means to serve, or look at a very scant part of what the Bible talks about, you know, living your life and serving. So anyway, we'll get started with that. And these are all from the New King James Version, and they're all, I don't know if you can see them or not, but anyway, they're all up here, so if you don't want to try and follow along. The first one's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. It says, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. And then in Deuteronomy 11, chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, it says, but take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So we can see from these three verses that are places out of the Bible that we're to fear, love, and to keep his commandments. And those all kind of equal up to serve. Serve comes right after those. But I think if you look at these, that you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. So the two are tied together, the fear of God and the service. And then we're to love the Lord your God and serve him. So besides fearing him, we're to love him, and in that love, serve. And then we're to keep his commandments and to hold fast to him and to serve him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. So keeping his commandments and holding fast to him leads into service. So I didn't even try and look at service. It's amazing if you go. I think I had 12 pages of verses when I just put in serve and had it search on that. That doesn't count served or service or anything. So anyway, I think it's important to God, this idea of serving. So anyway. And here, probably the most famous quote out of the Bible about serving is in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Okay, there it is again, fear the Lord. "Serve him in sincerity and in truth." So your service has to have something behind it. It needs to be sincere and in truth. "And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Now that's got an exclamation point after that sentence, and I didn't probably say it emphatic enough, but can you just, you know, imagine Joshua there trying to wrap things up. I mean, this is the end of his service, if I remember right. And he's trying desperately to get these people he's led and that Moses has led to make sure they're going the right way. And so he's saying, "Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And just think, you know, if in the land of the U.S., all the gods that are here, we don't have idols that people carve out, or we don't have things, you know, that people chip out and put up in their house. Well, the some people, Hindus and so forth, have their little shrines in their houses and stuff. But, I mean, you know what I mean. You got your TV, you got your internet, you got your cars, you got your jobs, you got all these things that can be your God, that can get in the way of you serving God, that can replace the Amorite gods or any of those. But anyway, so you have to choose. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's the decision we all have to make for ourselves. And hopefully that's the one that we will make. And then the people answered, and he says, "So the people answered and said, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.'" And they answered in the affirmative, but knowing the history that we have through the Old Testament, you know, this didn't stick. And that's one of the things that we have to ensure, that when we make that decision, "I'm going to give my life to God," which means I'm going to serve God. That's going to be what I'm going to do. But it's not just for a little bit. It's not just, well, it's convenient. It's not just, well, I'll do it for, you know, like Bob Dylan did. He did it for 3 albums worth, and then it's like, yeah, that's boring. I'm going to do something else. I don't know what the reason was that he turned back to the world. But anyway, but I think it's very important that we need to make sure that it's a daily service that we give to God. And that's the bit I pulled out of the Old Testament. Now we're going to go through verses out of the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" So again, re-emphasizing, and of course this quote that Jesus used there came out of the Old Testament, but emphasizing that we only serve God. And then in chapter 6 and verse 24 of Matthew, it says, "No one can serve," again this is Christ speaking, "no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And just like we saw in the first part of this lesson from the song that Bob wrote, that you're going to have to serve someone. Is it going to be the devil or is it going to be God? But you can't do both. You cannot cut your time in two and spend some time serving God and some time serving your other God. God's a jealous God and he doesn't like that, so he won't accept you splitting your time. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 27 through 28, it says, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And then in Luke chapter 22 and verse 27, it says, "For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves." So this is an example. These two verses are an example of Jesus and his attitude. And if there's anyone that we need to follow, it's Christ, and try to be like him. I mean, as Christians, that's, you know, kind of what that means, is that we are followers of Christ. But that was his attitude, is that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. So his whole attitude, his whole life was dedicated to serving, and we're much better off for it. So now looking in Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." So part of our regeneration, our rebirth through Christ, is the ability that we can serve, that part being reborn has given us that ability to serve. And then in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through 19, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify one another." So, serving Christ makes us acceptable to God and to man, and then in that service we're to do things that make for peace and that build each other up. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So we can see here from the way Paul wrote this that service is tied directly to the fulfillment of the law, which is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And service is tied to love. Through love, serve one another. That our service makes us acceptable to God, and it's also done in love. So, moving on in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality." So we're to do our work heartily, knowing that we are serving Christ. And if we don't serve Christ, if we don't do it in the correct way, or we reject him, we will be repaid. And in Hebrews 9 and 14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So Christ died and shed his blood just so that we could serve. It's basically what this is saying. He died, part of the reason he died, was that our conscience would be cleansed enough from dead works so that we could do work for God, that we could serve God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So again, we know that the kingdom of Christ cannot be shaken, and that we are to have grace in our service, in our servants, is to be with reverence and with godly fear, that we are to serve the living God. That we're allowed to serve Him through Christ's sacrifice, and that we should do it heartily. And then finishing up with this portion, in Revelation chapter 7, verses 15 through 16, it says, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat." And in Revelations 22, 3 through 4, which is the last chapter in the Bible, it says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads." So, we serve throughout our lives, and then we get to go to heaven, and then we continue to serve. For we are servants of Christ. That's what we're here for. We get saved to be His servants, or to serve Him in His cause. And that's part of going on, we're kind of switching gears now and not looking just at specific verses that talk about service or serve, but I gleaned a few that I thought talked about how we should live our lives and what serving might mean. So beginning in Ephesians 2:10 kind of or backs this up. I can't think of the word I was wanting to say. Anyway, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him." But this whole section in chapter 2 of Ephesians is talking about how we are lost and then we were saved because of Christ. And it summed up, or partially summed up, here in verse 10, where it talks about that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That our salvation God gave us so that we could work for Him. That we could, it's not the only reason. He loves us incredibly, or He wouldn't have given us Jesus. But part of His plan is you get saved, now get to work. So, and part of that work, and I think the most important work that we have, is this next verse, or verses, Matthew 28:19 through 20, where it says, Christ speaking, and one of the last things He said while He's on earth, says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, part of our work, and probably the most important job that we have, is to go and make disciples. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12, another thing that we should do as part of our life, it says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Now we're told here that we're to lead a quiet life and we're to work. We're not to be bums hanging out waiting for somebody to give us money or food or whatever, that we're to go do physical labor to take care of ourselves. But in doing that, we're to lead a quiet life and to mind our own business and walk properly. So those are part of the things we're to do. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we're told, or it says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So Paul's telling us here that we should pray. And I think along with going out and trying to make disciples, I think prayer is probably one of the most important jobs that we have. That we pray for ourselves and for each other and for our leaders of the land and for sick and well and whatever, but that we pray. That's part of our work. That's part of our service to God, is going to Him and talking to Him and pleading for things. And we also, in 2 Timothy 2:15, should be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So part of our work is being able to rightly divide the truth, because we're not going to be able to go out and make disciples if we don't know what God has told us and are not able to put it forward in a meaningful way to those we come in contact with. So we need to be a good worker and need to not be ashamed, but and able to divide the word and to pray. Now in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it's quite a little wrap-up of just how you should behave, I think. And I think it's a good overview of living our lives, because our whole lives should be about serving God. That's what our entire being should be, is wake up in the morning, what am I going to do today? I'm going to serve God. And how am I going to do that? How am I going to live my life today? What should I do? Well, Paul, writing to Titus, he kind of hit on everybody in this paragraph or a couple of paragraphs, so we'll just go through it. It says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience." So there's us old guys that we're to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patient. And the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of the good things. Okay, so they're supposed to be reverent and not slanderers and not alcoholics, and teachers of the good things, that they admonish the young women. So they're to help the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So younger women are supposed to be taught how to love their husbands, I guess, because we're kind of hard to love. But anyway, and to love their children, and to be discreet and chaste and all those things, good and obedient. And I think my mind keeps going blank on the words I want to use. It's important that we look here that it says that the word of God may not be blasphemed, because our lives, we proclaim to the world, we're Christians. I mean, hopefully you do. Hopefully when you're talking to somebody, sometime or other, you bring up church, or you bring up the fact that I belong to Christ or something. Well, once you say that, once you let it be known, people are going to look at you. And they do. They're going to watch you, see how you live, and then they're going to go, "Oh, see how they act? Why would I want to be a Christian if they act like that?" But if we don't, if we act like this, like what God has said, then what's that do? That helps God. Anyway, and then he goes on, he says, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded," kind of the same thing as the old guys, "in all things show yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you." Now that's quite a work if you can do it. That you live your life in a way that even people that don't like you don't have anything bad to say about you. I don't know why they wouldn't like you if there's nothing bad to say about you, but you know, some people you meet, they're just not going to like you, no matter how nice a person you are. But we are to live our lives in a way and in the service of God so that other people don't have evil things to say about us. And then he goes on in verse 9 and 10 about while we're at work. We're no longer bond servants, but I think this ties directly to working a job. And it says, "Exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So that while we're at work, we're not to talk back or steal, but be good employees and do the will of God. And I think all of these things tie in, that we were made to be of service to God. That's when we were saved. Back in Ephesians, it said that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that we should be making disciples of all the nations and leading a quiet life and working and praying for others and presenting ourselves a good worker to God and doing all these things that we just talked about, because, as Christ said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, and I think that's real important there, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can try, but it's impossible. You cannot do it. You have to pick one. I hope you'll pick God. I hope you'll pick Jesus. Because God loves you. He desires for you to be his child. He really, really does. There is no time like the present. If you got any concerns or you want to give your life to Christ or you have something other that you need to make known, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Number will be 262. Stand up for Jesus. 262.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall be.
Be Lord.